witches, hello Draculas, hello vampires, hello pumpkins, hello bats, hello ghosts, hello Halloween. No, we're still a little early. I don't know. What's going on, my Tyrannosauruses, my Stegosauruses, my Velociraptors, my Spinosauruses, my Triceratopsuses, my Pterodactyls, my, did you like that fucking dinosaur twist I threw in there? Just when you thought that it couldn't get more fun, I decided to get prehistoric up in this bitch. What's up, guys? It is I, Sarah Weinchank, checking in with you before another fun bonus episode of Shank. This one is with artist Kai Ahrens. He's an amazing, amazing fucking artist. He makes the most fun, cool, beautiful posters with, like, he uses the best colors. You look at them and you instantly feel like you're having fun. He's so much fun. I met him at the Comedy Store a while ago, and he's always hanging out there, and he's just, like, so much fun to be around, such a good person. He's one of those people that's just so multi-talented. He recently, he's in a band called Jinx, that's J-Y-N-X, check them out. We sample their latest song, or their first song, called I Keep the Lights On. You can hear it in this episode, and just, I got to talk to him about what he's been up to, and he's doing a big show at the Roxy with his band Jinx this Monday. If you're in Los Angeles, that is October 1st. Definitely check it out. Check him out. He's super talented, and if you like the sample song, which there's no reason to not fucking love it, then go online on Spotify, iTunes, and get yourself some Jinx. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think you guys are really going to enjoy this episode. It's super fun. We talk about everything from music to art to the importance of flying your freak flag. If you say flying your freak flag too much, it suddenly becomes like a weird tongue twister. I don't know. Maybe I'm just making excuses. Who's to say? Guys, this episode of Shank is brought to you by Smoked Honey. That's right, Smoked Honey. They are a distillate brand based out of San Diego, and they use the best quality terpenes. So you're just getting a very, very high quality cartridge for your vape pen. And they also sell hardware, which is fucking amazing. It's super easy, super discreet. I feel so, so lucky that they sponsor me. The fact that they're sponsoring me keeps me creative, which allows me to, you know, list dinosaur names at the beginning of this podcast, which is, if I didn't have Smoked Honey, you wouldn't have dinos at the beginning of this podcast, you know what I mean? But yeah, they have so many great quality products. I mean, their cartridges are amazing. They hit super smooth. And then they have these things called dab darts, which is essentially just concentrate in a dart form, and what you can do with that concentrate is you can smoke it with an e-nail, like a dab, or you can drizzle it over a joint, or you could just eat it directly. It tasted so good that I just started eating it, and then I was like, oh, whoops, I ate a lot of this, because it doesn't taste super weedy. Like, what other concentrate would you be able to, like, lick and it not make you grossed out? Like, this shit tastes amazing. That's why it's called Smoked Honey. Just the best, it's the best product, and it's just the highest quality, and I feel so lucky because sometimes you don't want to smoke out of a bong. Sometimes you're like, you know what, I'm a fucking real adult and I don't have time to just fucking hit a bong. And also, like, give your lungs a break. Check them out online, smokedhoneyca.com. Make sure to follow them on Instagram at smokedhoney. And I hope you guys enjoy this bonus episode of Shank with Kai Ahrens. Make sure to check out Jinx, J-Y-N-X, iTunes, Spotify. And if you're liking the podcast, please, 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 please leave a review. I know that some of you have rated it, which I super appreciate, but reviews make a really big difference. I want as many people to find out about this podcast as possible so we can continue to grow it and continue to bring you guys the best quality content. And yeah, I have so many great episodes coming up. I thank you guys so much for listening. And if you've left a review, thank you so, so, so much. It makes a big difference and it really means a lot. When I get those reviews, they really make my day. And yeah, if you have any fashion questions, again, you can email shank, shenk.pod@gmail.com. That's shank, shenk.pod@gmail.com. Tomorrow, Sunday, September 30th, I will be in Palm Desert with Ali Makovsky. Palm Desert, I am headlining, and I am bringing Ali Makovsky, and that is 8 o'clock at the Hood Bar in Palm Desert. So, if you're a Kill Tony fan and you're in the desert, come out. What the fuck else are you gonna do? You live in the desert, and it's like a weird time of year to be living in the desert. I don't know. Just come out. Support live comedy, you know? And if you guys, you can always follow me online at Princess Shank on Twitter and Instagram. I post all my show dates on there. And if you have any suggestions for podcast guests, please don't hesitate to tweet them, to tweet me and them. Let me know who you guys are wanting to hear on Shank. And here's another fun episode with Kai Arens, guys. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Shank. I'm Sarah Weinshank, and today's guest is Kai Arens.
Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for coming on. I'm so excited to have you here.
Wow, thank you for the invite. You're always a joy.
You're one of my favorite people. I met you at the Comedy Store here.
Nice. One of my favorite places.
Yeah.
This and the Hollywood Bowl.
The Hollywood Bowl is also so amazing.
It's like, you know, Los Angeles' little pearls of amazing things to see and do.
Historic pearls.
Yeah.
Like, gems.
I don't think there's anything like it in the United States.
No. So, okay. You are an artist and a musician.
Correct.
Which is super exciting because you're not just one thing. Just when you think you figured out Kai Arens, there's another side
there's
to Kai
Arens.
There's
so many weird things. I've had a very unconventional life and parents that allowed me to do whatever I want without any, like, hey.
Really?
You know.
That makes a really big difference.
They kept it open. Never saw them argue. I'm lucky. Very lucky.
Really?
Yeah. Never got hit. Well, I got spanked, but never got, you know, never had to deal with a, whoa, why am I being treated this way? So I think that's kept an open mind. And my mother was very artistic and dad's a cookie guy. So I'm
a cookie guy.
Yeah. Well, cookie too, buddy.
Cookie. Well, I want to play this song.
Oh, can I tell you what's up with it?
Yeah. Let's get into what's up with the song.
All right. So I'm in this band called Jynx, J-Y-N-X, and it's Jynxtagram and Instagram. And we got signed to Linda Perry's record label about a year ago. And
that's so awesome.
A week ago, this new single dropped, and it's on Spotify, iTunes, and anywhere you want to listen to music. And we are having our debut show October 1st at the Roxy.
Yes.
And yeah, this song is, it's Harlow is the lead singer, and I do all the music and all that stuff, and I produce it.
Okay, I'm really excited. We're going to play it right now.
It's called Keep the Lights On.
I Keep the Lights On, and you can get it at Spotify, iTunes, all of the places where you can find a song.
Yes.
Okay, let's do it.
Boom.
Chasing moonbeams across the sky. Why can't I see clearer? Walking down the dirty streets with dirty shoes and bloody feet. People keep telling me you better hold on to your.
That is I Keep the Lights On, and that is the hot new jam.
That is the hot new jam.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
There's a whole bunches of songs that we have, and we'll be doing about a 45-minute set.
45 minutes?
Yes.
So how did you meet Harlow?
Oh, man, about 6 years ago, I went to the Viper Room to see Sherry Curry, the lead singer of the Runaways.
Okay.
And
I love that.
I'm like, who is this girl that looks like she's in Missing Persons sitting in the reserve section, oddly looking like it's not her booth to sit in?
And wait, just by herself?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And, I like this. So yep. You're intrigued.
Well, I'm intrigued. She's kind of trippy. She's kind of freaking me out. Tells me about her band. I go and I see her band, and I'm blown away by her.
And she's the singer of the band.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about the band, but I was really into her performance. And, like, literally, I was there on a date, and my date was, like, wanting her, right?
Your date was into...
And I date girls.
Right.
And I was too. I mean, I don't, that's not where I'm going with this, but what I'm saying is
she had
men and women
appeal.
Just had that, God, and she's doing I Wanna Be Your Dog by Iggy Pop. And
no.
She's walking
that's
on
that's so
all,
cool.
So badass. And so I became super intrigued.
Right.
And it happened to be her birthday the next day. So I went and I picked her up and I took her to Canner's and we talked about what she wants to do and what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. And I did a photo shoot for her band. And I just kind of watched those efforts flounder a little bit, you know. Like,
meaning what?
Meaning that her band just never really took off for a lot of reasons. Music's hard. It's a
yeah.
tough one.
Anything like artistic, you got to experiment. It's hard to find. Like,
right.
You try on different things before you find what works. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you just keep going.
Right.
Like, you know, like I've, in your path and following you as well, I'm always impressed at like how you just keep it rocking. Ain't nothing, there's nothing that's going to stop you.
Thank you.
And that's super commendable.
And, thank you.
And that's kind of what happened. I had a track that I started working on that was just really cool. And she came over to my house and she sang on it. And I just went, what? Like, it was the combination that just worked.
Yeah, it sounds like amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool to see this side of you because I love your art.
Yeah, thank you.
The artwork that you do, it's, how would you explain it?
It's pop art.
It's pop art.
For sure. It's usually pretty simple. It's colorful.
It's colorful, which is what I love about it.
It's to the point. It's straight to the core, I feel, to when I'm creating a poster for a band. I try to make the way I feel about the music come out in the image.
And it does.
Thanks.
It's like amazing. You've done posters for so many amazing bands.
A lot of different people.
Yeah, what are some of your favorites?
Liza Minnelli.
That's amazing.
Liza, the Radiohead for Haiti was a really great experience and fun art to create.
Really? What does that look like?
That one is a giant Band-Aid box.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, that's amazing.
Thank you. That one is
amazing. Yeah. All of them like also kind of sometimes have like a retro feel, but it so just feels kind of timeless. Like it could be from the past or the future.
I was born in the 60s, so I'm from the past.
You were born in the 60s. And so do you feel like that influences you creatively?
Completely. I feel like the 70s Saturday morning lineup of Sid and Marty Croft.
That's a big inspiration for you.
And Willy Wonka, where there was no one watching the dailies, no one watering down the content, you know.
Right.
Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker. That stuff would never fly today, unfortunately.
I know. Why is that?
Because we've all become really uptight. And we have social media, and we all have voices, although not everybody was designed to use them for certain purposes.
Yeah, yeah. You just see people left and right abusing their social media voice. You're like, can I mute you?
I mean, it's like, I have a headline for you, and I don't give a shit.
Right. Like, there's so much. It is weird. Maybe it does feel like maybe social media, because you're not getting, like, the raw versions of people. You know what I mean? So it's like, you don't see people when they're drunk, or you don't see people. You see them in, like, these little snidbits, and it's, like, all pretend. You know what I mean?
But it is.
But, like, and even, like, the cartoons now. I don't know if you've seen, like, some Disney cartoons now.
I have.
Like, the Disney
and
cartoons.
And I'm doing some work with Disney right now.
Really? That's so cool.
Exciting.
That's amazing. Just the cartoons right now. It's like a
I agree.
It's like, why are we talking to children like they're, like, they don't understand?
What's up with redoing everything?
And making it worse.
I mean, come on.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so October 1st, you're going to be at the Roxy. At the Roxy.
And I'll tell you something about that show.
Yeah.
That is going to be completely wild. You are going to see the Roxy building in a way you've never seen it.
Are you allowed to elaborate?
I'm not. I'll just leave it at that.
The physical building?
The whole town of L.A. will know that we are a band.
That Jinx is in the building.
We are in the city.
Okay.
Yep. We've already done three shows out of the country.
You have?
Yeah.
Where?
We played Tokyo.
Tokyo?
We played Paris.
What?
And we're playing Moscow.
What?
In November.
What? You're going to go to Russia?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I remember you went to Russia and you posted pictures, and I was like, damn, this architecture looks so cool.
I'm obsessed with it. You just gave me the goosebumps. Look at that.
Yeah.
I get really excited about things like that. Like, my brain connects to my joy spot in a second.
Yeah,
and
I love that.
Like, Moscow, the constructivist look of the big, fat, gray cement angles and sticking out, and the strength that they – I don't know. So great. But, you know, out of depression and intense times become immense minds, intense minds that create things that only they can create. You go to Poland. You go to Czechoslovakia. Well, I went when it was Czechoslovakia in the 80s. But like, before, like, literally a second before I got here, I'm on my Instagram. I'm taking photos of, like, Eastern Bloc construction of buildings and stuff. And I'm constantly obsessed and, like, how did they do that?
Yeah. It's really interesting to see the different types of architecture, because I feel like
America's a baby.
Yeah.
U.S., we're a baby.
We are a little baby, especially compared to other countries in Europe and everywhere else, you know?
Yeah.
So your childhood, your parents kind of let you.
It's like we just kind of moved in, believe it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have work to do, you know?
We do. We're trying to figure out what to do with our neighbors, and we can't figure it out.
Yeah. We have no clue.
You know? In the meantime, the neighbors just want to make life for themselves. They're just like another human.
Yeah, it's a little it's confusing. That's why I feel like art is so important, because it's like something that keeps everybody together.
It's what happens at the dessert of the day.
I like that.
You know?
Dessert of the day.
And it's the thought that is welcomed into your mind. It's not preached. It's a visual. You can choose to look at it or not. I do some political art as well. Like, I got involved accidentally by the Bernie campaign, and that turned into a lot of things. I helped Jane Fonda with her bank exit.
That's amazing.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
And did a bunch of stuff with the Women's March.
Oh, yeah. You did a Nancy Sinatra.
The Nancy Sinatra poster.
I love that. Yeah.
You've been messing where you shouldn't have been messing.
Yes, I love that.
Hashtag me too.
Yeah.
Before me too.
It's so cool that you're able to convey political messages in a way that's not, it's just, I think it's digestible.
That's the point.
Right. Because it's like, oh, this is fun.
Oh, wait, there's a message here.
Right. Yeah. And that's one thing that I love about you is that you're like one of the most fun people. You're so fun. You're always doing fun things, whether it be spin art or like projecting something onto a wall or whatever. I feel like you prioritize that type of stuff.
Oh man. Fun. It's an absolute whirlwind. I have a for lack of a better word, a fantastic team that works with me. My nephew, Colin, he manages the bet my day, and he does it with kid gloves, and he pushes when he needs to push too. So I have a manager as well, a manager for my music and a manager for my art. And it funnels through that way, and I'll wake up with my list of tasks to do.
What does a Kai Arnes day look like? Let's walk us through.
God. I wake up at 7:30 and go back to sleep again and get up at 8:30.
Okay.
And get the coffee rolling.
What kind of coffee?
I usually grind it. I go Guatemalan beans.
Okay.
I'm just maybe in a romantic notion. For some reason, I just love the thought of Guatemalan beans.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I like it too. It seems exotic.
It's like,
yeah,
you know,
artisan.
So, and then I jump in front of my computer, or I go out on my deck with some spray cans or some Spino paint. And I usually have a poster, and I'll wake up and there's in my inbox, there'll be photos of a, like I had today, a poster for Jonathan Wilson, who's performing tomorrow night. And then later on today, I'll have another photo in my inbox, which is the printing of The Grizzly Bear at a Hollywood Bowl that's Sunday. So there's always just a bunch of stuff. So I had to redesign a single for the record label that I'm a creative director for, Linda Perry's label called We Are Here, and also Carrie Brown, who started with Smashing Pumpkins. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, I've got it's an amazing combination of things right now. I'm capable of doing a lot of things, and when I'm in the pressure cooker, I kind of like it. But at the same time,
because it forces you to just like pull all of the creative energy out.
And tonight I need to finish 3 music videos for this touring tribute band for ABBA called ABBARAMA that is literally getting on a plane right now and is playing tomorrow night.
And you have to finish how many videos?
3 more.
3 more videos?
Can you hear my voice?
You sound like...
I'm fast, though.
So are you editing them?
Yeah, I direct music videos, too. If you wanted to see one, my favorite is the one I did for Devo, and it's called What We Do, and there's no edits in it. It was shot in the round. It was the first interactive music video that was released in 2011. You can find interactive versions of it. Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo is a friend and a... I really look up to him as a pop artist and a musician. So if I had to mirror myself after somebody, it would probably be him.
That's so cool. So when you're making a poster.
By the way, I got to say
that,
and I don't know if this is something you've done before, and I hope you don't tell yourself that I could never do that.
Right.
But I think you would do fantastic in the world of art. You've got such a sense for style. I don't know. No one can see what you're wearing right now. Where did you get that dress that's made out of cartoons? It looks like it's a Liechtenstein.
I got a Buffalo Exchange in San Diego for $13.
It's adorable. But like every time I see you, it's like so on point.
Thank you. Yeah, I just love fashion and colors and I've been doing more styling stuff. I like doing it, like freelance styling projects here and there. But my issue with it seems to be that, like, I wish that I could just put people in whatever the fuck I wanted to. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But it sucks kind of the creative fun out of it when it's like, these are the shirts and pick the bottoms. It's like, fuck this.
And plus there's a million people in this town doing that.
Right. So. Like, but I do love doing it.
I feel like if you just fly your own freak flag, eventually somebody will want to come and hold it up with you.
Yeah. That's such a good metaphor.
you know,
in
build
general,
it
for everything.
Agreed.
I mean, yeah, for a while I thought that comedy and fashion were two separate things, and I didn't think that I could kind of bridge that gap. But this podcast, we do talk about fashion. People email me fashion questions sometimes.
Not surprised.
Yeah, but so for you, what do you think? Because I get a lot of questions from dudes about what to wear. They're like,
guys,
I don't know what to wear.
Yeah, that's not easy.
What do you think for just like the average guy? What are some like good basics that you would recommend?
Oh, man. Well, I have a lot of luck at Wasteland in Studio City.
Yeah, Wasteland, Studio City.
See,
good.
And Wasteland on Melrose is good as well. The reason being is they have pretty good eyes there. They pick, they get a lot of people that have major brands dropping off samples of shit. So you're getting some unique, one-of-a-kind type pieces there.
Right, for sure.
But if you want to get sporty right now, I'd go to Reconstruct on Melrose. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but I'm wearing all these ripped up, like it looks like got bullet holes in it. And I'm going baggy with these camo pants, and they're dyeing them with different colors. And that's why they're called Reconstruct. They'll literally like take the arms off an Adidas jacket and slice it like a cucumber and then sew it back together, slightly twisted. So the lines go dun, dun. It's like super cool shit.
Yeah, they also do that with vintage Levi's. They take apart the Levi's and then they completely rebuild them. Because a lot of times, like the mom jean looking Levi's, they don't fit. It's real hit
or
miss.
You mean the ones that are like beyond your belly button? And
yeah, like those are like really popular right now, but it's hard because it's like they're really hit or miss. But Reconstruct completely rebuilds them.
Yep.
And then like sells them and they look like amazing.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miguel is the guy down there. And he also has U.S. Alteration.
Oh.
That's his design partner. So that's a little higher up. It's down on Wilshire. But they rock it up. Like if you – I mean you have to spend some dough to get some – you'll walk into that place and you won't believe that a sweatshirt is – $250,
yeah,
but you
like
need
the
to
jeans
have it.
Are like $400, but they fit amazing. What about like just like some basic stuff?
Man, I don't know.
Yeah, because
I like making my own shit too.
I know.
Like I'll get a pair of pants and I'll wear it out, and then I'll try to find another exact same pair of pants, like the ones I'm wearing right now. Like this is the second time I have them, and I have the other ones that are completely ripped to shreds, and I'll bring it to a seamstress, and I'm like, fill the holes. I want to keep wearing these.
I'm like that too. I'm like a creature of habit, because it's like once you know you have something in your closet, you're like, you know what to put it with.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then once it's gone, it feels like a loss.
My closet needs an enema so bad right now.
Your closet?
Yeah. And the thing is, every time I empty out all my shit and I take it somewhere to sell it, they laugh at me. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It's always humiliating. You're like, okay, I just wasted like an hour and a half so that you could look through this bag and smugly.
Yeah. And when like you're buying nothing.
Yeah, and you're buying nothing. But also, like, you're missing the point because there's some good things in there you should have bought, actually. I'll take that back.
Have you ever done that? No, like, I didn't want to even – oh, I didn't mean to put that in there.
Yeah, like, actually, never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to buy that for $6, I'll take it back. Yeah, so growing up, your parents were pretty, like, open with, like
– everything, you know.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, just like, you know, I'm bored, Dad. All right, son, we'll go outside and look up at the clouds and make some things out of it. There's tools in the garage. There's hammers, there's nails, there's wood,
really?
There's saw. Go ahead and make something.
I love that.
You know?
Were they artists? Are they
my
artists?
Favorite thing is I lived right across the street from a park, and once a week the arts and crafts vehicle would come in there. And
what's the arts and crafts vehicle?
Isn't that great? That in North St. Paul in Minnesota, the arts and craft would come on Thursdays in the summer, and everybody would go there, and we would do tie-dye I still do. We would do plaster of Paris. Oh, my God. They would bring these molds, and you would want to pick the best mold, and then you would pour the plaster of Paris, and then you would paint whatever it is that you would make. And then I would find out what other parks they would be in on different days, and I would go to three different parks a week, and they were cool with me doing that.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So
I was, and like in high school, I took every art class they had to the point where they actually invented a class for me to take in my senior year.
What was it?
Studio art, which just meant I was going to hang out with my girlfriend.
That's so awesome.
I blew it with the studio art. It was like so like phoned in.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, I didn't do anything. And my artist, I mean, and the teacher literally goes, I'm giving you a C minus.
Yeah.
I'm like, he goes, you know, yeah, it's clear that you can do your art, but you're just hanging out with your girlfriend, dude.
And you're like, yeah, isn't that the purpose of doing art?
What does a senior do?
I mean, it's like, I'm an artist. Let me hang out with my girlfriend, get inspired, and then I'll fucking do whatever you want. You know what I mean? So did you have, how were you in school? Did you have interest in stuff outside of art, or did you kind of always know that that was what you wanted to do?
I knew it. I knew. I can mark the moment as a seven-year-old when I said I was going to be a graphic artist.
Really? What was that moment?
It was that moment in second grade where the teacher went around the room and asked everybody what they wanted to be.
Right.
When I was probably a year before that, I discovered a book of Russian fonts when I was like six.
Russian font book?
My mother and I used to go to sale. Oh, I did too. I'm obsessed. We would go to garage sales all the time. And I found this book and I remember then drawing my own fonts.
That's so cool.
When I was a little kid.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Did it become obvious that you had like this skill at like a young age?
Yep.
That's so cool. It's so cool that your parents were supportive of it. I think that that's really important. I was listening to this talk. It was from Alan Watts, who's like a philosopher from the 70s.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's British, but he has like this whole thing about when he was giving a lecture on art and how as children, if you have children, it's really important to nourish their artistic abilities.
Yes.
And how having a shitty art teacher or a music teacher or whatever could be detrimental.
Wildlife art.
Yeah, it could be really detrimental.
I mean, I like it, but yeah, it is.
Yeah, because someone's like if you have a piano teacher who's yelling at you constantly and like then the kid becomes afraid to experiment with the piano.
Yep.
Or like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I agree. I mean, you don't want to turn it into a competition. And then there's art school, which I never went to. And I've had interns that went to art school and they all, not all, but a lot of them have a little bit of fear of competition that kind of is just human nature and art school and just in life. But when you are trying to compete against somebody in your art, you're not traveling in your own mind freely.
Right.
When I moved to Los Angeles in 2004 for the express purpose of opening an art gallery, I went to a couple hangs with all the Shags and the Biscups and the Basement and the Shepherd Fairy and all that stuff. And I'll respect all of these artists, but I immediately didn't like the way everything was going down. It was like there was a certain hierarchy and business to it. And I wrote a song that year, which is called Keep the Blinders On. And I kept the blinders on. And when you look at my art, like you had said before, and you see a very distinctive style.
Yeah.
That's probably why.
Because it's literally like your art, I think it's just pure joy. It's like so happy. Like I look at it and I'm like, oh, I'm happy because
I actually had an art show.
Really?
That was called For Goodness Sake.
Really?
Yeah. And Mark Mothersbaugh wrote a song called For Goodness Sake. And for the art show, he made one single 45 that only the buyer gets to hear or listen. And that was it. And Drew Carey bought it, oddly. And the B-side was Pure Joy.
That's so crazy.
Sung by his child.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that with anything creative, the second you start looking at what someone else is doing and get distracted by that and stray from the path that you're supposed to be on, then it's hard.
Yeah. You know, it's like when I do artwork for people and when they come in with their, you know, what is their inspiration board for what they're looking for?
Oh,
it's over. It's like you came to me because you want me to wrap my head around it. Now you're bringing me something and I'm like,
no,
I'll never be able to live it up. You know, and when you're doing music art, if you ever get advice from the drummer, you're done. Forget about it. Just for some reason, the drummers just don't.
That makes
generally sense. Speaking, I'm sure there's amazing artist drummers out there. But
I'm pretty sure I got HPV from a drummer, so fuck drummers.
Fuck them.
You know what I mean? but so, yeah. Wait, what were we just talking about before drumming and HPV?
Joy, art,
I was gonna say something
school,
completely lost
fashion.
It. Fashion. It was about
your outfit.
My outfit. I love an outfit. I don't remember. That's fine.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That happens. Maybe it'll come back. Maybe it won't. Maybe I'm turning into a fucking 75-year-old.
Not a chance.
Low-key dementia.
Isn't that funny? You kind of like, there are times you're like, God, I am all of my age. And then there's times where you just go, I am a spring chicken filled with new thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I feel like 7, and then other times I feel 65. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's really a weird feeling.
Well, both ages are good.
Yeah, just different.
You ever notice how happy and smiley senior citizens can be?
Yeah, because they're
like... they got to a point where like, hey, guys.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. It's like same thing as a child. Same face of a child.
Yeah. So I think that I do think that it's interesting because I do see that a lot of creative people have the instinct to be creative from an early age.
Yeah, and hopefully like that door stays open.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And it doesn't always. But we're all not meant to be artists, God forbid.
I know.
That would be like everybody just be talking about themselves all the time.
Yeah, just narcissists everywhere, you know.
You know, that's one thing that's interesting. you know, when people ask me what I do, for a long time, it was hard for me to call myself an artist because the blue-collar background that I grew up in never made it seem as though art is a quantitative, is that even a word?
Yeah.
A job that you should, I mean, because what are you talking about? You are not building a house. You're not, that's not a job.
Right.
All right. Cool.
Right.
It's
really interesting, though, because I do think that society makes it seem like you fit into like these different boxes. And even like with comedy, I'm like, how can I do something that's comedy and fashion? Like, is that OK? You know what I mean? And then you start to grow into like your creative identity. And that's really exciting. And then you stop caring about, you know,
you should just stop caring because you're good at what you're doing. And that's what's interesting to comedy. And as you know, I've spent hours upon hours in this building and having Jeff Ross as a great friend to be around all these different creative minds has just been fantastic. It's such a great big family of support of people. And you find people are doing all their things on the side and you watch, like even growing up and watching Pee Wee Herman do his thing. That was art.
Pee Wee Herman.
You know, let's watch, you know, Emo Phillips, that what a weirdo. But like that's a style, that's a look.
Yeah,
you know?
Tim Burton. I mean.
Yeah, I know. Just so anyway, I mean, I feel like especially now, everybody's working for themselves, and you know, because the major everybody can do their own things at home. I mean,
I do think there's a big push to that. You know, like I do think people are taking more risks because, like, otherwise what's the point? But I do think that social media is one of those things that if you start looking, you can get lost on that shit.
I was talking to a friend of mine last night here at the Comedy Store exactly about that. And we were talking about making a fake profile of someone and try to pull all the worst things that are involved in people in their social media. Like one post would just be 10 photos of like barely differing of that, you know, perfect angle that everybody
Yes.
There's a new cartoon that just came out in black and white and looks like Betty Boop.
What?
And it's so amazing. It's all about cell phones.
With Betty Boop.
You should be.
One of my favorite things to do is watch like old Betty Boop videos.
Oh. It's the best. St. James Infirmary is one of the all-time greats. That's where he goes to hell.
Okay.
And it's Louis Armstrong sings St. James Infirmary.
I feel like I may have watched this not that long ago.
But this one shows that, like, this girl is looking in her cell phone and she's got this face from hell and she's so sad and she looks depressed and she's crying and it's just like, and then the cell phone goes in front of her face and they kind of make it look like a two-way mirror, and when she goes in for the selfie her face turns into happy smile. The picture that you paint for somebody is so vastly different than what you are in real life sometimes. I find that to be so odd.
Yeah. There's a level of inauthenticity that just shines through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let's see, like, what the kitchen looks like after your son eats instead of...
Kind of in the same topic, Jinx has a song called Swipe and Go, and it's about dating online, you know.
Yeah.
I get rejected all the time. I haven't been on a date since 2009. And, you know, it's all about just like he showed up. He was, a foot shorter than he said he was. It's just like it's curious. These what picture you paint of yourself on our phones for other people to see.
Yeah, that's true. And sometimes people, like, on dating sites, it's like, why would you pick that picture? You know what I mean? Like, can I help you with your choices?
People do need help.
Like, you can consult with me. Please change that. You know what I mean?
Sarah, I think you could probably do that in
social media consulting or online dating. Let me help you out. Don't take that down. Delete that. Don't write that. Maybe downplay how much you DJ. You know?
Yeah.
I like your glasses. What kind of glasses are those?
Dita.
Dita eyewear.
Dita.
That's cool.
I was at Reconstruct and this guy comes up to me and goes, I really like your glasses. And I go, oh, thank you. Hi, what's your name? And he said his full name and it was Dita. And he was the guy who made them.
That's so crazy. What? That's such a small world.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
But yeah, they're
they're awesome.
And they weren't even that bad. They were like $390.
They're cool. The frames are great.
I need big frames.
Yeah.
Like a big head.
Glasses are important, I think. So before we started recording, you said something about an RV. What's going on with that?
So I got an image from a friend in Minnesota of this 1973 GMC baby blue RV that is a stunner. And my brother and my sister-in-law drove across the country in it.
It's amazing looking.
But they got to Flagstaff and it overheated. And so now it needs a little love. Got that call this morning.
So is that your van?
It's mine.
So what do you plan to do with that RV?
It's going to be the Jinx vehicle.
Oh.
And I plan to back that part up right there, the back end of this vehicle, and put it on the edge of Grand Canyon and enjoy a night's sleep there.
What? Have you been to the Grand Canyon?
I love it.
You love it. No, I've only been to Sedona, but I keep hearing that the Grand Canyon. Okay, I haven't been to the Grand Canyon. I one time lied to someone. Yeah, fuck yeah, road trip. I one time lied to someone in high school because they invited me to their prom. And I was like, I can't. I'm going on a family vacation to the Grand Canyon.
Wait a minute. Now you got to come back with pictures or a T-shirt.
I know. It just feels like, because I was like, who would lie about going to the Grand Canyon with their family? It seems like such a weird lie.
You would.
And I don't lie often.
That's
so it's
funny.
One of those things that's like haunted me. I'm like, oh, I lied about going to the Grand Canyon.
Is that
so
all
I
that's ever haunted
of
you?
I mean, all kinds of shit haunts me. You know what I mean? How do you... Okay, first of all, one, I really like your nails.
Thanks.
How would you describe them?
Well, I saw St. Vincent's video for Los Angeles, and she had, instead of wearing earrings...
Uh-huh.
She just painted the tip of her ear.
Whoa. Hot pink. I love
just
that.
The edge. And I just went, that's so cool.
That
Leave
is
it to
so
her.
Cool.
Because she is a badass.
She is a badass.
So I decided to do the same thing with my fingernails. And that's my move, man. I've been doing it.
I love it.
And now when I create concert posters, I also take the edge tip of one of them and just have one color. And that's where I put my logo.
That's so crazy. That's so cool. So how did you know... When did you feel confident that you were going to be able to make a career?
37.
37?
27.
27?
And 37.
Yeah.
27 was my big break at Woodstock 94.
Okay.
All right. And then...
And you'd been doing it basically your whole life.
Right.
Okay.
But since 94, I've made my living completely on art.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that fun? Well, I mean, every once in a while, like, times get a little tough, and then maybe I'll DJ here or there. Oh, yeah. Boo-hoo.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my last real job was 1984. I worked at the Gap.
You did?
And then I got hired by the local roller skating rink to be a DJ, a roller DJ.
That's amazing.
I know, right?
That sounds fun.
So then I was a DJ for 9 years.
Okay. That's cool.
At nightclubs.
And then you did that, and then your art. So then your big break came around...
94.
So did you make a poster for Woodstock?
Well, what happened was when I... In 91, I moved to New York to try to make it as a rap artist.
Oh, shit.
I was 2%.
2%. I love that.
And I got started in Minnesota, and I used to DJ.
Like Milk? Because you're white?
Exactly.
I love
you
that.
You nailed it. Yes. So, like, I was a DJ, and I went to a Public Enemy concert, and I was really disappointed. I love the record. I love that first record, and I was so blown away. And when I went to the show, I was like, they're just standing there. On top of that, they're playing their album on vinyl and rapping over. It's not even an instrumental version. And I'm like, there's room for improvement here.
Yeah.
So I started recording rap, and I worked to a bar really close to Prince's Paisley Park, right by Chan Hassen. And a lot of his musicians for various projects and bands around that time, and he had a lot going on around 1990, would come to this place, and I would start conversations because I'm an absolute extrovert, and I would say, oh my God, really, you're playing on this project? You need me to design your cassette single?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Want to trade me some studio time for some art?
Right.
And that's how I started recording.
That's so cool.
And one thing led to another, and I opened up for EPMD and Gangstar, DJ Quick, Chub Rock, Father MC. And
that's so cool.
I started out as Jack the Rapper because I was like, come on, dude, make a move up there.
Yeah.
And at the time, they weren't. It was like it was very new, and like there wasn't a lot of show. There still isn't enough show in the rap world for my tastes, growing up with the likes of Kiss and Queen.
Yeah, that's a show.
But when I moved to New York, I hosted karaoke for a living as my rap career did nothing and hosted a show for a guy who started the original Woodstock. And that was 91. And I bugged him. And finally he said, hey, well, why don't you come up and visit us the summer of 94 and maybe you can work for us. And they started, I got a job. I became the hotel coordinator. Then they asked me to come into some of the creative meetings, and they brought in all this merchandise that they were potentially going to make for the event. And it was all tie-dye. And I'm like, I get that in 1969, but do you guys know who Nine Inch Nails are? Are you familiar with this generation?
Right.
Do you know what Green Day is? Right. And they actually didn't. And they're like, what would you do? Literally, the designs had to be done the next day. And I'm like, I didn't really know, but just thinking off the cuff, I was like, I would take a sunflower and I would burn your new logo right in the center of it. And that would be my logo.
I love that.
And that's what they said. Oh, my God, can you do it? So I got a phone call from a photographer, a guy named Elliot Landy, and he's an amazing photographer. He did like Dylan's National Skyline. He did that famous Hendrix photo with the flaming guitar and all that stuff.
What?
And he invited me to his place because he was heard I was looking for a sunflower. And I went there and they were all black and white and kind of out of focus and all a little too groovy. I just wanted that hyper color, perfect 1994 looking.
That's such
sunflower.
A specific thing, but I know exactly what you mean.
And that's what I wanted. And I was like, I'm driving home and I'm so depressed that I didn't get the right image. I thought, okay, I'm screwed. I looked to the left of me. The field was filled with sunflowers.
What?
Jumped out of my car. That's remember like going into the ditch, jumping, grabbing the sun.
You're driving?
Yeah. Pulled a couple of out of there. I went downtown Woodstock and found a Kinko's and dropped those things into a scanner.
That's insane.
Showed up with my art the next day. Boom. And that's how it happened.
I love that. That's such a good story. You so, who would you say are your influences artistically? Do you have any or inspiration?
Yeah, I love Joseph Albers.
Do I know him?
His stuff is the same repeated square images in different color combinations, and he's like super simple. I like Roy Lichtenstein very much, what you're wearing.
Yes.
It's very attractive.
Thank you.
And I like, of course, Warhol.
Yeah.
Love it.
Fucking
I love
so
Picasso.
Smart. Yeah.
These are, you know, the biggies for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's others too that I like, but I like really simple.
Yeah.
I don't give a rat's ass about realistic paintings of, I don't even care about Mona Lisa. I don't care about it.
I feel the same way. Like, I don't I don't want to see like a still life from the Renaissance period or like Jesus and Mary.
Agreed.
To me, it's like so boring.
And I don't like graffiti.
I don't love graffiti.
It's like I'm not really into it. I feel like it's too many colors and too many shapes all in the same piece.
It is.
And you can't read it.
It is interesting because your lines are very clean and everything's like with your stuff. It's like you choose colors that complement each other really well. And it just like sucks you in. You know what I mean? Like that's what I love about it, because it's like it has like it could be from the future, your art, or it could be from the past.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of time.
Like
it's timeless.
Yeah.
And that's what I think good art is.
Future classic.
Yeah. Yeah. Future past. Yeah. That's like, I love that. That's as like one of my favorite ways to dress too.
Yeah.
Like, are you from the future or are you from the past?
So cool.
Who knows?
Yeah.
You know? I like that.
So every time it's like, here comes Sarah. What's she wearing today?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like showing people things that they need to see again that they didn't look at right the first time.
Really? Like what?
Like a lemon.
Okay. Oh, you mean with your art? Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Like a pencil and the eraser on top of it.
Or just like, and you do stuff with like nostalgic things too.
I think that... I don't know what that is. It gives me warm, fuzzy feelings, I guess, to bring those back.
I get that.
Okay,
a lot.
You feel that.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, my mom would take me to thrift stores and garage sales. We would spend a lot of time doing that stuff. Even like there's a vintage store in Sherman Oaks. It's called the Sherman Oaks Antique Mall.
I've been there.
Okay,
it's on Ventura, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
I love that place. Because it's just like a fun way to spend like an hour.
Hell yes.
It's just like walking through, like it's just like artifacts from the past.
Every second to last Saturday of the month, there's an art auction.
Really?
It's amazing. There's one on Saturday at noon. And they have like, they'll have Picassos. They'll have... you know, Miros, they'll have Lichtenstein, you know.
That's so crazy.
And like, I've yet to get the prize. I almost got a Lichtenstein paper plate. They had a Charles Schulz hand drawing, giant drawing of Lucy with the psychiatrist
sign up
above it, you know. And I'm going again this week. You, I think, would really enjoy it.
I should check that out.
Yep.
Well, that's our episode. So, wait, do you have a gallery now in Studio City?
I have La La Land here in Hollywood, but We Are Here Records. I am the face of this new space that we purchased, which is going to become a recording studio and art studio.
What? That's so
cool.
And
record store. The record label bought a record plant in... Frogtown, and it's 10,000 square feet, and it's actual pressing. We can record straight to vinyl.
That's amazing.
We just purchased that, and so what we're going to do is we're going to have performances at that space, and the only place you can buy the vinyl is at our store right next to Art's Deli. We Are Here. It's called HEAR, and that was purchased by Linda Perry and Carrie Brown.
And that's in Studio City.
And it's my new creative playground. As you've seen, I've been doing pop-ups.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I think it's so cool because I definitely think that the Valley needs that.
Oh, yeah. And people are
upset.
Feeding
right?
On.
Because It is weird. It's like an underserved market.
Square over there. Yeah. I mean, got to get rid of a few of those mattress shops, that's for sure. But like, I mean, Julian Casablancas came in and now he's coming in all the time. He's over there. Mark from Devo came in. There are people over there that know what's up. If you ask me, the Valley's a little bit place to go because traffic is a little more laid back. You're right by Salt and Straw.
People are just a little more laid back.
Yeah, people are. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like less like, what are you working on? And more like, oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, like that's why I love it. But I'm also biased because I'm from there. So
that's right.
You know, but
it's home.
Yeah. So where can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Kai Arns, KIIARENS.
Awesome.
That's my Instagram. I don't give a I don't really do Twitter, you know.
That's not really a thing. What about a website?
KaiIrons.com as well. You can buy a bunch of my stuff there. We're about to revamp it. Going to slim it way down. We're going to release single pieces of things instead of everything's got to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There was a guy that I was working with that was kind of his method, and I followed it with my eyes kind of like, I don't know. And I was, you know what? Always follow your gut.
That's real.
Follow
you got
it,
to.
Man.
You got to trust your gut, you know, but it's good.
You're not going to be right all the time. And if you follow your gut, you'll be right 90% of the time for yourself.
I love that. And that's what matters.
Yep.
You know,
at the end of the day.
Yeah. So October 1st.
October 1st at the Roxy.
At the Roxy.
JYNXtagram. Jinxtagram.
Jinxtagram.
Hit us up.
Hit them up, guys. Check them out. Listen to them on
the video
Spotify.
Debuts October 2nd.
Ooh, October 2nd.
Ooh, I can't wait for people to see the video. We're gonna start teasing them this week.
Okay, I'm super excited. That's great. That's awesome. Congratulations
thank
on everything.
You.
And thank you guys for listening to another episode of Shank. If you have any fashion questions, you can email shank, shenk.pod@gmail.com. And please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.